The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Luke O'Neill, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jonathan. How's it going?
I'm very well. Your hair is looking very well.
Thank you very much.
That's the one thing I'll say here. Without fear or favour, you're looking great. You can tell that you're a man who's not very stressed.
No.
Really?
No, hopefully not. Yeah, but this is this recent finding. There's always a question, does stress make you go grey? That was something that we kind of knew anecdotally. And because we've all heard stories of people having a fright and then they go grey the next day. And there
does
is
that
evidence.
Ever happen, really, though?
Well, it was questioned, let's put it that way. But there are medical cases of so. There was a woman, for example, who witnessed a murder and the next day she began to go grey and that was documented. So, but the big question is, could it be stress or not? And now the scientists have figured it out, Jonathan, there is evidence that stress will increase your chance of going grey more quickly, basically. And there was a paper published last week. So the evidence would suggest that stress. Now, we know things like stress in the workplace, exams even. Can you imagine students and exams are some evidence that will enhance the greyness? So there was some evidence for this, but now it looks like it could actually be true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going a little bit pepper pot around the edges myself, and I'm okay with that. But the one individual I'm fascinated by is Simon Harris. Simon is still a young man. He's the Taoiseach now. But the watching him go grey has been fascinating to us.
It has, yeah.
I mean, he's not using just for men. We know that much.
That's right, exactly. And of course, there's presidents of the US, famously, Jonathan, presidents go grey, like Obama. At the end of his presidency, he'd gone grey. You know, Bill Clinton, when he began as president, he wasn't that grey, but again, by the end of it, he'd gone white, you know. So there's this phenomenon where presidents in America must be under so much stress, potentially, that it enhances the greying process. And strangely, not many presidents are bald. Have you seen? This is a strange one. And of course, Trump has said this. He says, under no circumstances should you go bald, because they reckon if you're bald, you're less likely to be elected as president.
Okay, hang on. I hate to break it to him, Luke, but I mean, there's an awful lot of combing over.
There is. There's evidence for that. They've seen his hair blow in a storm and it revealed he has one of the longest comb overs, I reckon, of anybody, to make sure he keeps people think that he's not actually bald, you know.
So why do we go grey? I mean, there is a process. Obviously, time is a factor.
Yeah. Well, there's a cell called a melanocyte. That's the type of cell that makes melanin, which is the pigment that makes your hair dark, say, right? And they begin to die off as you age, as many things get a bit older, you know, and things begin to fall off, basically. But the melanocytes begin to die off as we age. But different people, some people don't go grey, remember. So there's something genetic. Some people have melanocytes that persist, you know, for years and years and years. And this study about stress has shown that there's melanocytes and there's melanocyte stem cells. Now, they replace the melanocytes once they're worn out, a new one comes in. They're the ones being damaged by stress. And the study showed that a thing called noradrenaline, which is made by the nerves in your skin, that begins to limit the effect of these melanocyte stem cells and you can't replenish them. And that may be the connection between stress and going grey. But it's all about the melanocytes. And of course, the big hope is that there'll be a way to keep the melanocytes going and then nobody will go grey.
Well, you see, this is it. You know? You're going to tell me now that eventually there'll be a tablet and instead of getting it out of a bottle, you get it out of a jar.
Yeah. And remarkably, there's a bit of progress because if we understand how these stem cells work and keep them going, if you will, they'll persist into old age and then you won't be going grey. And they've done this in animals. They can stimulate these stem cells. Now, stem cells are important in many parts of your body, not just in your scalp, you know. And this research actually is about maintaining stem cells into older age. And maybe your muscles will be stronger or your skin will be less wrinkled if you keep the stem cells going. So in many ways, the research into greying is more to do with stem cells than anything else. But they are making progress. Amazingly, there is the prospect of a way to keep the melanocytes going, you know, and then that will slow down the greying process. And that will knock this multi-billion hair dye market. And as you may know, people spend a huge amount of money on hair dye, and for women as well as men, by the way. Can you imagine if you don't need to dye your hair anymore? Instead, you just keep your melanocytes healthy is the kind of process.
Well, you see, that will be a winner. But if you want to charge more, then develop a treatment to stop fellas from going bald, because there is a link, a complete and utter nonsense link between male virility and baldness. And for some reason, society looks at baldness in a very negative way. And I don't know why that is, but it has always been thus.
It has. And that's a multi-billion dollar market, and 3.6 billion dollars a year were what I spent on things like Rogaine. You may have heard of Rogaine and Propecia to slow down the balding process. Now, again, big research, because if you could stop people going bald, that would have a big market, because I just tell you, people don't like going bald. Men don't. Many men don't. And then, of course, for women, it's more serious. There's a thing called alopecia areata, where baldness happens in women. And again, there's lots of research to try and slow down that process. And we're seeing progress. It is to do with testosterone. There's no question about that, by the way. That seems to promote baldness. And then a product from testosterone called DHT. That's the thing. Again, it affects the cells in the skin that's making the hair grow, as it were. And the DHT damages that slightly, and hence baldness begins to happen. That's why it's more common in men. And the drugs that are there already, Rogaine and Propecia, they stop the testosterone from damaging the hair follicle, is how they work. You know, so again, it's interesting how much research has gone into this.
Yes, well, of course, the research in there now is what we describe as ethical. But tell me about this lad in Oklahoma, James Hamilton, in the 1940s.
Yes, well, you see, that was the scientific question back in the 40s, or even for decades. The question was, why do men go bald? It was a simple enough question. And he was the one who said it was testosterone. And it's a bit gruesome. He studied men who'd been castrated. Can you believe that? Now, they were being, in those days, sexual offenders were castrated, some of them, you know. And he noticed they never went bald. And he wondered, what is happening here? And then they realised testosterone is made by the testicles. And if you don't have any testicles, you don't make testosterone. And the men didn't go bald. And he was the first to link baldness to testosterone. That began that whole that research area. And
not quite as holistic as it might be made out to be, to be fair. Now, there is, of course, potential cures. There's always a potential cure. And our old friend, mRNA, might be a factor here.
Well, that's the other breakthrough. I'm always up to speed, you see, on the latest things. You know, I came across this stuff about the stress, but in the same week, last week, a paper came out on this little RNA molecule. It's called MER-205. I know it's a bit of a mouthful as usual. They've just shown that will stabilize these stem cells in the hair follicles and keep them going, you know, and that means that they will keep producing hair. And they made a cream out of this stuff. Get this, right? This is not in humans yet. They're still testing it in model systems. And that cream allowed hair growth to happen, and a tiny RNA molecule rubbed into the scalp, as it were, into the skin, promoted hair growth again. Now, they're immediately going to start doing a trial in humans. Can you imagine? In other words, this would be a really effective way to allow hair growth.
Like, going a bit bald there, I'll give you a cream. Is
that
what you're leading towards?
Well, a cream initially, but the trouble is, creams aren't ideal because you can't rub them in properly. Turn them into a tablet to get into that part of your skin and your scalp, and hey presto, this little RNA molecule
is maintaining the follicle. If you end up with a very hairy knee or something.
Well, that's another mystery. Why does hair fall from certain parts of your body and grows some? As you know, as you've got older, I bet there's hair growing in certain parts of your body you don't want. You
know? Oh, I don't know why my ears are turning into what they're turning
into. That's the mystery.
Of all places.
You lose hair from your head and it grows in your ears. That seems ridiculous. But yet that seems to be the case. It's very strange.
A couple of texts on this, Luke. Maria says, my husband, who was going bald and grey at 54, had a stem cell transplant for multiple myeloma.
Yes.
Within 6 months, his bald patch grew hair, and his hair grew back jet black as it had been in his youth. Wow.
There you have it. Now the FDA have not yet approved stem cells for baldness so far. That was a lucky byproduct. He was having stem cells from something else, you know, and then the hair began to grow. That's why they're pushing this stem cell stuff in a way, because this could be the ultimate answer. So you never know if they make a specific stem cell for hair growth. That would be the
I just have an idea of Maria there rubbing her hands through her husband's lush black hair. It's just the way you describe it, Maria. Right. It sounds lovely. Can you ask Luke about JAK inhibitors for
absolutely.
Alopecia?
That's a fantastic question. Yeah, because that was a big breakthrough, right? So this alopecia areata is an autoimmune condition where your own immune system attacks the hair follicles and kills them off. And then women get much more common in women, and very disturbing, obviously, you know. And lo and behold, immunosuppressants will stop that. And the JAK inhibitors are immunosuppressants. And the first one was called Xeljanz. And it was remarkable. Women given that drug, 50% hair growth came back in some of them, you know, where there were bald patches, simply because you were stopping the immune system killing off the hair follicles. And that's seen as a big breakthrough. And I think about three have been approved so far for this condition. So there's real hope that those kinds of autoimmune type baldness diseases will now be very treated, which is great, you know.
One last one. My father went grey immediately following a triple bypass, but it did come back. My very curly hair went dead straight following an anaesthetic that didn't agree with me, but it did curl again. Hair tells you a lot about the body.
Isn't
so
it's
true. It is interesting. Luke, pleasure as always. Thank you so much for joining us. Professor Luke O'Neill of Trinity College Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.